This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. This is the evening edition. I'm Umar Paganampike Pagan alongside Caroline Oh. Now, a few weeks ago, a report on the Malaysian Insight revealed that a number of young Malaysian graduates have chosen to leave their office jobs here, work in blue-collar jobs abroad, and do it illegally. One of the Malaysians who were interviewed was a 27-year-old who left his job as a business development executive at an oil and gas company in KL to work as a factory operator in the UK. His new salary is more than twice the amount he used to earn in KL, and these Malaysians are taking the risk of deportation for a better income. Unfortunately, this is not something new. For years, many Malaysians have resorted to overstaying in foreign countries to work in jobs illegally, but the high rate of brain drain means that it's a problem that still needs urgent attention. Joining us in the studio today to talk about this issue, we have Shareen Shariza Dato' Abdul Ghani, the CEO of Talent Corp Malaysia. So, Shareen, we've seen Malaysians working abroad illegally for a long time. In Australia, Malaysians make up one of the largest percentage of visitors who've overstayed. I remember a few years ago, the UK actually took out billboards along our highways telling people not to overstay because it was illegal, right? Why do you think this keeps happening? What are some of the motivating factors for Malaysians to, you know, I guess, squat illegally overseas?
I think, you know, a lot of the things when we meet with Malaysians abroad, they like the lifestyle there, perhaps, right? And when you are there for a certain number of years, it's very attractive and to stay on and, you know, they make connections with the locals, the communities there, and they do overstay. But what Talent Corp does in terms of the work, at least in engaging young talent, especially if they've studied there and, you know, ready to come back, is to really then describe to them the opportunities that's available here in the country, because sometimes maybe we don't amplify that as much. So what are the opportunities and the growth opportunities here in the country with regards to actual jobs rather than overstaying and being illegal workers?
Right. So just recently we talked about this this report about how there are a lot of Malaysian graduates, young ones, who are working illegally abroad. They do blue collar work, and then they continue to stay illegally and all the rest of it. But when I think of Talent Corp, and I understand that it may just be a perception, but when I think of Talent Corp, I think a lot about the professional work and
the high-end jobs, right?
The high-end jobs. Maybe because there was a lot of focus on the returning experts program and sort of, you know, sure, you would think the doctors and the engineers and the likes. So tell us what Talent Corp actually does beyond those jobs. These specific jobs, for example, where, you know, graduates who may not be professionals in those fields are working illegally.
I think because the remit and the mandate for Talent Corp is to look at professionals, so our focus has always been with that talent pool, and we work with industries here, companies who have those kind of high-skilled jobs. Mm. So the focus has always been that. We have met Malaysians who may not fit that profile or that mold of talent that we look at, but we still engage with them and have conversations on what's really happening in the country. And like I said, describe to them that, you know, a lot of the growth with regards to industries in some of the sectors are here in Malaysia for good jobs. Because sometimes it's quite attractive, like I said, to stay on and maybe, you know, experience different things. Mm. And perhaps they do make that choice. But eventually they come back.
But they're not working the jobs that they graduated in or for, right? Because you can't get a work permit. You have to work these illegal blue-collar jobs. And I think that's a big problem as well, because that's a sort of brain drain and also not utilizing your talent and degree the way you should.
Do you think that this focus on the current remit, where you are focusing on, you know, these high-end jobs, is, I don't want to say, you know, is it useful? Because I feel to a degree you sort of need all level of workers to prop up the economy. You need to be looking at a larger picture as opposed to just the high-end jobs. So by not really focusing on the other types of jobs, is that necessarily the right way to go? Does it help your work or hinder your work in any way?
It helps our work. It doesn't hinder our work. But like I said, the other skill sets that's probably not defined as, the high-end jobs are, required for the economy to sort of move forward. But when we focus, it's simply because as a government agency, we look at talent abroad who are perhaps, mainly government-sponsored scholars.
Mm-hmm.
They are the ones who are going to fill the, high-skill jobs that we have in this country. And those are the ones that are very difficult for us to fill anyway. Because at Talent Corp, we've developed this instrument. We call it the Critical Occupation List. And it's a yearly list that we publish to say these are the kind of occupations that we still struggle to fill. And those are the high-skill jobs.
Well, what are these occupations? Perhaps you can give us a list of, just maybe the top
five.
Industries, yeah.
For this year, we've gone to about 10 sectors. And within that 10 sectors, there are 48 subsectors. And the top jobs are, say, for example, we're looking at the digital economy, data analysts and people with the ability to analyze and analytics, research people.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a gap for us.
Yeah.
We also need to fill, if you go to oil and gas sector or at a sector level, engineers with capabilities for a drilling engineer, for example, that's oil and gas and it's highly, highly skilled.
Right.
And we still don't have those kind of Malaysians to fill those jobs.
So going on that example of, say, looking at data analysts for the digital economy and the need for those professionals to prop up the economy, and these are the areas where, skills are really, really needed. In the time that Talent Corp has been around, has the local landscape changed much to be an attractive workplace for these individuals to come? Because I remember we had these conversations, when Talent Corp first came up, and it was pretty much that, right? Convincing people to come back for these sorts of jobs. But then again, the landscape then wasn't necessarily appealing at the time.
Yeah. I think the landscape is much better. And if you look at the growth sector, digital economy is one that we're pushing out very aggressively. The rail sector is something very exciting for us. High-speed rail is completely different from the rail that we are used to. So these are the kind of high-skilled technical jobs that's out there in the market, and there's growth and there's potential. And that's where we get very excited because, we talk about oil and gas being our traditional sector. It's also growing. There's some elements there that downstream that jobs are growing. But the other newer sectors are the ones that we go out and talk to Malaysians abroad. And the opportunities are something that we are very excited about. And people like to hear that when we talk to them, and they want to know what's going on, and if it's attractive to them, then we facilitate and help them to come back.
Because I think one of the problems in the past when Talent Corp was first set up was that a lot of these high-skilled Malaysians working overseas didn't have opportunities in Malaysia because the industries were non-existent. So
correct.
If you were a highly skilled scientist working in genetics, for example, obviously the best place for you to be would be America or Europe, right?
Yeah.
And I guess this is opening up. But that being said, it's not just about bringing Malaysians home, right? Because sometimes we don't have the Malaysians who can cater to these industries. And Australia has this list, and what they do is, if you apply for a PR and you, I guess, meet any of these categories, you get extra points, right? And then you can get your PR quicker. Is that part of Talent Corp's remit as well, to find the best of anybody, not just Malaysians?
That's correct. So I go back to the critical occupation list. It's exactly the same that we model after Australia and the UK. Perhaps in the UK they use it, and Australia they use it for immigration purposes and work permits and all that. But for us, we use it to look out for talent globally. A Malaysian obviously is one that we pay particular attention to. And if there's no Malaysians who can fill the jobs, we also facilitate foreign talent coming in. And that's good for the country because then we have diversity of different types of talent from different parts of the world, and it enriches our human capital sort of mix for Malaysia.
We're speaking today with Shireen Shariza Dato' Abdul Ghani, the CEO of Talent Corp Malaysia. In a bit, we'll be talking about the problem of low graduate salaries. Stay tuned to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to the Evening Edition. Caroline and Uma with you, and we're speaking today with Shireen Shariza Dato' Abdul Ghani, CEO of Talent Corp Malaysia, about brain drain and whether Malaysia is attractive enough to have its own young graduates stay and work in the country.
One of the other things that we do talk about quite a bit is the fact that robots are taking over the world. You know, a lot of these jobs are going to, well, they don't exist now, and the jobs that exist now won't exist in the future. So in terms of talking about growth potential, how are you future-proofing it for, you know, so that it looks attractive for people to want to come over?
Nice. Thank you for asking. One of the things that Talent Corp is doing now for the next phase of our growth is actually looking at future of work. And how we define future of work is in three parts. It's the work itself, the kind of routine work that people are doing, the workplace, the environment, and the technology that's enabling people to do work, the space that they create and do what they need to do. And there's also the workforce. So these three sort of big buckets. What we focus on for future of work is exactly what you said. How do we future-proof our talent? And really looking at the right kind of strategies to reskill or upskill. Or in fact, if robots are really taking over those routine jobs, then it's to us, it's a good sign, because then that opens up other opportunities for human beings to do more value-adding things. If you're sitting there doing routine work every day, certainly automation is the way to go.
How good are we when it comes to strategizing for the future? I mean, you know, we disparage quite a bit. We talk about how bad we are at planning, for example, and it's not really our strong suit. So with something like this, as important as human capital, How well do we do on that score?
For Industrial Revolution 4.0, Future of Work, we are still crafting the thinking around it, because it's also global. Everybody is trying to wrap their head around it. They're trying to figure out what's going to happen. So as government, we've looked at it across some of our key sectors, and some of the ministries are, you know, defining it. So Ministry of Higher Education, Ministry of International Trade and Industry, and we are part of that because that's the human capital element that we want to put forward. So you're right in the sense that we have to look at the right kind of policies and really translate that into real actionable stuff. So an action plan on how we're going to do this is important, because that defines the execution and how well we do it. So we're still in that phase of pulling these things together. Mm-hmm. And the target, at least for Talent Corp, is by the end of the year, we should have an action plan for future of work and how we define the three buckets, like I said.
You must come back and talk to us when
ready.
Yeah. And how responsive is industry? Because I'm assuming you have to work hand in hand with industry to even craft this plan, right?
Yeah. So what we do is we already have a somewhat of a framework. We go out and talk to various parts of industry. So companies are, you know, very engaged in this topic, because they have to think about their workforce as well, whether they need to reskill, upskill, you know, to be redundant, or what do we do with those who have no opportunities?
Right.
How do we look at the social sort of element of that? Because there is a downside to going fully automated. So we need to help companies to think through that and then help them with, like I said, designing the right kind of policies.
Yep.
So the engagement is very active with industry.
Okay, so big question, money. I guess a lot of Malaysians who work who work overseas, whether legally or illegally, cite salary as a big problem. And I think, you know, I guess there's a lot of agreement there, because in Malaysia, I don't think we've seen salaries go up as quickly as we'd like it, given how much cost of living has gone up, and given how many Malaysians are feeling the pinch, right?
Yeah, and I mean, realistically, is it something that Talent Corp actually can have a say in, and once they're actually back in the country? You know, can I guarantee you?
I mean, that must be a hard sell for you, right? Because they're like, oh, I'm earning £5,000-£6,000.
And every year I have an increment of, you know, 20% or whatever.
And I can send this much home to my mum, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, we do recognise that wages is something we have to look at, because it's structural for the country, and especially wages for graduates. We've done very well to set up the minimum wage, that's well and good, but graduates' pay has still not moved very far. And that's, you're right, it's a very hard sell for us. But what we say when we look at certain sectors and companies is that the growth of their career path is more so here. they can work in in foreign countries and earn the money that they do, but in terms of where they grow in their career path, it's not as good as it is here in the country.
How do you convince them of that?
We talk about at the level where they enter, we agree that we need to relook at wages. At the moment, with the we've done a bit of a study for graduates' pay, and on average, it's at 2007. When we look at the broader study to see what's the living wage for the country, especially people who live in the city, at the minimum they have to earn is at 3,000 ringgit. So we need to look at that to cross that sort of gap. And then at 3,000 ringgit, it's already pretty decent. I wouldn't say it's fantastic, but it's a good start.
Yeah.
Then internally, when they already get into the organisations and if they work in this good organisation, we see the growth in terms of their salary increments getting in terms of the benefits and the packages that they have, and the opportunities are there in these companies. So that's why we look at, you know, companies who can develop those kind of talent and who want to actually have the talent here, and you know, they're highly skilled, and of course having their education abroad.
I don't know whether it's fair to say, but, you know, so all these things are really important, but it just feels like it's such a long runway, whereas for Talent Corp, then I would imagine you have targets to meet every year, whereas these things are slowly taking the time to, you know, slowly settle down, right, and get the policies in place and then work in the wage structure, talking to all the different companies. So short term then, you know, what do you do?
Yeah, what are the short term wins?
Well, we focus on the sectors that have growth. So if we look at banking and professional services, there's growth there. And the wages and you know, at graduate level is good. We look at sectors that are going to pay well and will continue to show that career path and growth for our young talent. So I'll go back a little bit in terms of the program that we have, at least for the JPA scholars. And what we do so far is we've done the work since we started in 2011, and there are about 4,000 JPA scholars that we've brought back, and they're into great jobs at the moment. A lot of companies really want to, you know, take them up. The government has invested in their education, and they come up from really good schools. So these graduates get good jobs in good companies and good pay. So at the very least, the high-skilled ones, we have gotten there, right? Now we need to advocate more strongly for the others so that then, you know, the wage improves for graduates who are in the country. So there's a bit of imbalance there, I agree. We have to look at how the country then restructure its wage composition to do better for graduates.
Then I suppose the complication is primarily with people who you're trying to get to come back, right? Because obviously, it's very difficult to match that kind of salary they may be earning in Australia or the UK or the US or wherever. Is it still true that you have to rely on extenuating factors like, oh, you know, your family's at home and, you know, I guess the food's good and the lifestyle is slightly better? I mean, is that still the argument that you have to make?
We did a little survey, but it's a smaller pool of Malaysians abroad. Number one is still family. They do return because of family. But number two is opportunities. So that's not too bad. So people recognize that there are growth opportunities here. And number four is food. So, you know, it all goes into that mix. But opportunities number two is a good thing for us, because then we see, okay, we need to then talk a little bit more about what's available in the country and really describe the potential here. Because I think we don't do that enough or don't do it well enough.
Yeah.
We're speaking today to Shireen Shariza Dato' Abdul Ghani, CEO of Talent Corp Malaysia. After the news, we'll be talking about what makes Malaysians abroad come home. Stay tuned to the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Boleh for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Caroline and Uma with you on the evening edition. We're speaking today with Shireen Shariza Dato' Abdul Ghani, CEO of Talent Corp Malaysia. Now, earlier in the program, we've talked about why some Malaysians would choose to work illegally overseas when their talent and skills are in demand over here. Here's the rest of our conversation about bringing Malaysians back home. A couple of years ago, your former CEO, John Merican, was saying that, I guess, the political and economic climate was a hindrance in trying to convince people to come back. Is that still a problem in convincing those who are abroad? I guess, economically, while Malaysia has been growing steadily, you know, I think the last report was 5.8%, I guess the feeling on the ground doesn't necessarily translate. And we all know, I guess, politically, with the conversations that go on, there's a certain level of instability as well.
Yeah. One of the things that we look at when we see the effectiveness of the work that we do is, some global rankings and benchmarking the country. Mm. So if you look at the recent report that's come out in terms of how competitive we are as a country to attract talent, we have from 25, we've moved a couple of notches to 23 this year. We're second in ASEAN. And that's a good indicator. That means Malaysia is an attractive place for people to come and work, and foreign talent love to come and work here. Malaysian talent are also now looking at the growth opportunities because the political situation, is not great everywhere in the world.
Hmm.
But what's going on in America and in the UK with Brexit. So,
But I suppose if they can be swayed by something like rankings, how do big incidents that receive global attention, for example, 1MDB, I mean, do those sort of incidents turn people off?
From the conversations that we've had, we've kept it very focused about the opportunities and the growth sectors. Mm. And of late, when we do the engagements, we have dialogues with the people who attend. And we bring companies also to talk about their plans and all that.
Right.
So that keeps its focus in terms of job opportunities. Because if you go down the path of trying to explain whatever else that's not really have, great in the country, then we just get into that negativity and everybody's just going to be talking about, negative stuff where there's a lot of opportunities.
Sure.
It's interesting. I think it's a sense of ownership, right? I mean, I when I speak to people who are abroad and I ask them why they don't come home and say, things are bad in the UK, in the US, everywhere in the world, I think they feel a certain level of disconnect. It's not their problem. Trump is not their problem, even though they're living in America. Meanwhile, Malaysia, they feel it's my country and I'm angry at something. And I think that's the real conflict or demotivating factor.
But is it also fair, you think, to say that, considering they still feel that way, although they are abroad, that there is hope, that you can feel hopeful instead of, you channel
it
that
is, right? Because that passion and love is still there for the country. That's why they feel so strongly about it.
Is that sort of what you see?
And those who actually make the important and sometimes difficult decision to return, and it's not just about social or political issues as well. Returning is not an easy sort of thing to do if you've lived abroad for many, many years. So there are many considerations. But I think those who actually return are hopeful and they want to contribute back to the country in various ways with whatever skills and expertise that they have. And interestingly enough, the Malaysians abroad that we meet who may not return because their roots are so deep in those host countries want to do stuff with us.
Mm.
And we've created a platform where we can, organize them in a way that if there are projects for them to do, they come back for 3 months, do something specific if they have expertise in artificial intelligence, for example, and it's difficult to find those kind of expertise here in the country, they want to come back and do stuff with us. So that's a good sign.
How does it? So I do wonder about that. So, with these temporary projects, for example, come in for 3 months, come in for 6 months, does that help in the long run when it comes to bringing people back for good?
We haven't tested it out yet, but there is a lot of demand and people are interested to do that. But that's also in a way for us to say, okay, come back for 3 months, do this project and see really what's happening in the country.
Try it out.
And perhaps it turns out into a real decision for them to return.
It's get a taste, lah. You've been away for so long, maybe you've forgotten what it's like to be home after 6 months.
Well, maybe things have changed. Situations are not what they were when you left, right?
And it is industry dependent, isn't it? I mean, there are some industries where Malaysia may not be just that attractive at all. But then yet again, there are some places like, I guess, healthcare, for example, where we seem to be in the progress forward. So what are we doing? I mean, with those industries that aren't necessarily attractive or as progressive in Malaysia, are we even focusing on that? Or have we just been like, you know what, let's focus on our wins?
I think we focus on our wins. because that keeps the conversation, active and people are interested. Mm. Those sectors who are not really that are not really progressing, we shouldn't talk about it as much until there's something good on the table for us to discuss. Because people, spend time with us to hear what's really happening and where the opportunities are for them. So we keep it very focused.
Before I let you go, I guess the question we have to ask every CEO of Talent Corp when they come in, because it's a question that has been asked for the last, since you guys started.
Sure.
Brain drain how?
Wow. Okay.
Have those numbers dropped or?
The numbers have been okay. I wouldn't say that it's dropped, but because we have new sectors and new opportunities, we are getting better at keeping our talent and getting much better at bringing our talent back home.
Fair enough.
also, exchange rate not good. People cannot afford to leave anymore.
That's true.
and just one last thing. What would you say to Malaysians who are working illegally abroad?
I think they should try to think about very seriously coming back, putting their roots here and starting a career. Why would you want to work illegally in another country and not build your roots in the profession of your choice at home? It just makes sense.
And also run the risk of getting arrested and deported.
Of course.
It's exciting like that.
Exciting,
that's why.
Sharine, thank you so much for taking the time
and
talking to us today.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
That was Sharine Shariza Dato' Abdul Ghani, CEO of Talent Corp Malaysia. If you missed any part of this program, don't forget to download the podcast on our BFM app that's available on Apple's App Store and on Google Play. This is the Evening Edition on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.